This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Again, that's the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Didn't do it. It's certainly good to see you here this morning. We're going to give this sermon a try. I don't know whether we're going to get through it or not, Cliff. I'm having one insulin reaction right after another this morning. And I've eaten all the candy I have so far except those two pieces. We'll lay them out there where we can get a hold of them in a hurry. Any of you got a Clark bar? Hold up your hand. As Shirley says, there's no rhyme or reason to diabetes. I got up with sugar 235 this morning, and now it must be somewhere below 70. Because somewhere below 70, you become blue spots rather than people. And you're all blue spots this morning. We're going to continue our study today of walking by faith, the second installment of it. And we want to begin again by pointing out that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, Paul wrote of death after life upon this earth and of the resurrection. He wrote in verse 8 that we would rather be absent from the body and to be present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in that heavenly realm. This he pointed out after stating in verse 6 that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Obviously, as long as we live in this physical life, we are not in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He meant that this body must die before we can go to be with Jesus in that spiritual realm that we call heaven. While we live in this life, we are absent from Christ, he stated. Therefore, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is the fundamental upon which we are attempting to build today. While we're absent from the Lord, that is, not in his presence, we are alive in our physical bodies here on earth. Therefore, we can only walk by faith and not by sight because we do not see those things for which we hope. The realities of life beyond death have never been seen by any of us, but we know that they're there because the scriptures tell us so. Therefore, we walk by faith because that's what walking by faith is. It is walking according to what the scriptures tell us. The scriptures have a great deal to say about walking or living by faith. And we cannot even begin to look at even a very small portion of it this morning. But for example, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We must live by faith is a proposition that all of us, or why we must live by faith, is a proposition that all of us must consider while living upon this earth. The Bible gives us the answer to this situation. It gives us the answer to the matter of living by faith. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that does. There is no other source to which we can turn, toward which we can look, in order to find out how to live by faith while we live upon this earth. The answer to our question, of course, is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Here, the author of this eloquent treatise wrote to the people to whom he was writing, Jews in Palestine, who were ready to give up the faith because of persecution. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A good commentary on this verse, as I pointed out last week, is this. Now faith is the title deed of the things we hope for, such as eternal life, for example, with Jesus Christ in heaven. It is the proof of the things we have not yet seen. We know they're there. We know they're there by faith because God said so. Skeptics like to mock those of us who are Christians, saying that what we call faith is wishful thinking. While skeptics say there is no such thing as God, there is no such thing as hell, there is no such thing as punishment, that's what I call wishful thinking. But all of life, friends, is based on faith. There isn't anything that we do that isn't based on faith. For example, we work expecting to be rewarded on what we call payday because it's been promised. That's an act of faith. We plant looking forward to a harvest because it's been promised, both by God and by nature. The skeptic dies expecting not to be judged by God. This is not promised. So he doesn't die in faith. Few people really understand the simplicity of faith and what it is. We need to be careful about what we're saying about faith. Today we have people telling us, well, faith is when evidence stops, and beyond that you just take a leap. No, that's credulity. That is, and I might add, just a tinge of stupidity. That isn't faith at all. Faith is not walking by nothing. Faith is walking by the testimony of God. And so, as we continue our study today, we're going to look at two more important points. Formerly, last week, we studied the importance of faith to a religious life. No faith, no religious life. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means to do what God said to do. Today, we're going to study what does it mean to walk by opinion, and examples of those who lived by faith. Now, in order to understand what it means to walk by opinion, we're going to have to review some important things about faith. And so we'll begin that at this time. We're clearly taught that we cannot please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible." Get that word? Impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Furthermore, without faith in God, man stands condemned in his sight. Mark recorded that Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." That's not difficult to understand. In John 3:18, it is recorded that Jesus told Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, "He who believes in him is not condemned, But he who does not believe, have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Am I still making sense, Shirley? Okay. The only way that one can be justified before God is by faith. I'll pause here to tell you why I whisper to Shirley every once in a while. One of the characteristics of insulin reactions or hypoglycemia is that you talk, but you don't make any sense. But you don't know that you're not making sense. And so I have to ask somebody, am I still making sense? All right. The only way that we can be justified before God is by faith. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For it," or in it, that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," those who are justified, those who are saved, those who are the children of God, "shall live by faith." In Romans 5:1, Paul recorded, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the word justified means to be saved or to be forgiven. Biblical faith is a combination of accepting, trusting, and acting upon the Word of God. If we do not accept the Word of God, we cannot trust Him. And if we do not trust God, we will not act on His Word. That is, we will not obey Him. Biblical faith always comes from hearing the Word of God. That's the only way we can have it. In Romans 10:17, Paul wrote, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Or, as I have put in the emphasized words here, "So then faith comes by hearing the Word of God." There's no other way to get it. This has always been true for both the Jew and the Gentile. However, we read from Acts 4:4, "However many of those who heard the word believed." Thank you, sweetheart. "Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now, what did they hear? The word. They heard the gospel. They heard preaching. They heard teaching. What did they do with regard to it? They believed it. They had faith in it. And then what followed? They were converted or baptized into Jesus Christ. How do we know this? We turn to Acts 18:8. Here we read, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians," many of whom were Gentiles now, some of whom were Jews, but many were Gentiles, "many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." When did they act? After they believed. When did they believe? After they heard. That's God's formula for developing faith. Hence we learn a very vital principle, which is this: where there's no word from God, there can be no faith. If God hasn't said it, you can't believe it, and if you can't believe it, you can't act on it. Where there is no word from God, there is no faith. Therefore, we cannot walk by faith where there is no word from God. Can we? How can I do what God has not said? Or how can I do that upon which God is not silent? By faith. Or upon which God is silent? By faith. We must have information from God in order to believe Him on any point. I don't care what it is. If he had said nothing in his word, then there can be no faith, nor can there be any obedience on our part. For example, what if the Bible said nothing about faith? Just as silent as the tomb about faith. How would we know what it is? How would we know that it was necessary? How would we know that even such a thing exists? And so you see, here is an important principle. We wish to illustrate by pointing out that the Bible says nothing regarding sprinkling or pouring for baptism. Hence, there's nothing to believe and obey because there's no faith. Common bread and water on the Lord's table. The Bible says nothing about that. Hence, there's nothing to believe and obey. There's no faith. There's no faith to walk by. You can't walk by what doesn't exist. Playing of instruments of music during singing in worship is never mentioned in the Bible. The Bible says nothing about it. Hence, there's nothing to believe and obey. There's no faith on this subject to walk by. We cannot please God by acting where we have received no instruction. We can't do that. You're beginning to clear up. It's working. Okay. We cannot please God by acting where we have received no instruction. Why? Because that would not be walking by faith. That would be walking by my will, wouldn't it? Or your will, as the case might be. So, let's ask ourselves the question then, what does it mean to walk by opinion? Well, opinion, from a biblical point of view, is a very hard word to define. As a matter of fact, there's almost as many definitions of it as there are people who use it. The word opinion occurs in the King James Version of the Bible only 4 times, all of them in the Old Testament, 3 times in the book of Job, where it comes from a Hebrew word which means knowledge. It also occurs in 1 Kings 18:21, where Elijah on the Mount of Carmel asked the people of Israel this question: how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. In this passage, the word opinions comes from a Hebrew word, sa'if. It means to be divided in your mind or in your sentiments. The word never occurs in the American Standard Version, King James Version, or the New King James Version in the New Testament. Just isn't there. However, there is a concept that does appear in Romans 14:22. The English Standard Version renders Romans 14:22, "The faith that you have, keep it between yourself and God." Now, this cannot be talking about the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we're taught to teach that, aren't we? So he says, the faith that you have, what's he talking about? A personal faith, a conviction that you have. Keep it to yourself before God. He speaks of personal faith. In this case, regarding food and the keeping of holy days. In the New King James Version, in the King James Version, and most others, English versions render this passage this way: do you have faith, meaning a personal faith, your own faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The word here refers again to a personal conviction that something is true or not true, as the case may be, and it's connected with the human conscience. If I believed that it were wrong to eat pork, as Brother Larrymore did, for example, and I ate pork, I would sin against my own conscience. But it has nothing to do with the faith that will take me to heaven, does it? Since it is a matter upon which God has not spoken, or one on which he has spoken, but the one has not yet learned the truth, we are to keep those convictions to ourselves. And I have several convictions that I keep to myself, unless I'm asked. And then I never become dogmatic about them. I don't really care whether you believe it or not. I don't think your salvation has anything to do with it, one way or another. It's just something that I've studied out from the Bible myself. It's my own personal conviction. You ask me, I'll tell you. Don't ask me, I won't tell you. And I sometimes joke about these things, as did Brother Guyon Wood, for example, at the Fried Hardeman College lectures. He'd say, now this is what I believe about it, or this is what I think about it, but if you want to persist in your ridiculous views, you go right ahead and do so. And so you can see, I don't take it as a matter of salvation. You don't have to believe what I believe about this in order to go to heaven, as you have to believe that you must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized in order to be saved from sin. You don't have to accept my view. There are two bodies of truth set forth in the New Testament. One of them is a body of truth that we must all accept in order to be saved. The other is a body of truth upon which we may have our differing views. And so long as we do not divide the body of Christ over it, or cause anybody to be lost over it, such as whether or not you eat pork, just, you know, it has nothing to do with salvation. Let's not fall out over it. Unfortunately, in the church, in recent years, we fall out more over the second body of truth than we do the first. I want to illustrate the difference between biblical faith and opinion in this matter. Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It's a simple verse, we all know them. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs which you do unless God is with him. We use this story because of its familiarity and because it'll be easy for us to remember, or at least I hope it will be. Can we believe, have faith, or know from the Bible that Nicodemus was a Pharisee? Yes. How? The Bible says he was. So that's not a matter of opinion, that's a matter of faith, isn't it? Can we believe, have faith, know that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews? Yes. How? The Bible tells us so. It's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of faith. Can we believe that Nicodemus visited Jesus by night? Can we have faith in that? Can we know that? Yes. How? The Bible tells us so, doesn't it? These are all matters of faith because the Bible tells us. God has spoken on these matters. And all these things we accept by faith because God's word says they are so, or they are true. Now, remembering that, and remembering also that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we ask this question. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? The Bible doesn't tell us. So we can't have any faith in that matter. Therefore, any answer given would be a mere opinion and nothing more. I believe that he came at night because he stopped at Burger King to get a burger and traffic was backed up and it was dark before he got out of there. And that's as good an idea as yours. That's an opinion. Has nothing to do with salvation, does it? This is walking by opinion. Now, if I said to you, you have to believe that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was ashamed to be seen with the Lord in the daytime, then I would be forcing my opinion on you. And I would be wrong for doing it, and you would be wrong for letting me. Someone might say, well, I agree with Gene on that matter. Fine. I don't agree with him. Fine. It's an opinion. It's not a matter of faith. Why can't it be a matter of faith? In this instance, because the Bible has not spoken. Religiously, requiring and doing things of which the Bible says nothing is to walk by opinion. Someone says, well, I think we ought to have instruments of music in the worship. Does the Bible say that? No. Well, then we're going to be forced to accept your opinion. Right? It's also a sin, brethren. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Moses said, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, God speaking through Moses, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. I don't have a right to stand here and demand something of you of which the Bible says nothing. Or of which it may say something, but its conclusions are not clear. If it is a sin for the prophet to command it, what about those who obey it, what he commands? Jesus said, following the commandments of men renders our worship vain, empty, meaningless. In Matthew 15:9, we read these words of our Lord, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Walking by opinions is doing what we think or what we are told by men we should do. You know, I think it's important that we come to understand this, brethren, as I did when I was a teenage boy. Because more and more in the Lord's church today, we hear people saying, "Well, yes, I know, but I think. Well, yes, I know, but I think. Well, yes, I know, but I think." Beyond faith, you don't think. You don't make it a test of fellowship. You don't press it. Walking by faith is accepting and doing what God tells us we are to do. Now, I'm going to deviate from this that I have on the screen for just a moment, because there's another important point here that people don't seem to understand in our day and time. Someone says, "Well, preacher, the Bible doesn't say a word about songbooks." No, it doesn't have to. It says sing, doesn't it? In order to sing, you can do it one of two ways. You can memorize the songs and sing them that way. Well, I guess three in this day and time. Or you can get a book, read the music, and sing the songs. But whether you use a book or whether you don't use a book, you're still doing what? Singing. Dave started our songs a while ago with a pitch pipe. Someone said to N.B. Hardiman one time, "David," they said, "you use a pitch pipe, it's an instrument of music to get the pitch." Brother Hardiman replied, "That's true. But the pitch pipe has sense enough to shut its mouth while the piano keeps right on clanging all the way through the song." And Brother Hardiman had a point, didn't he? In order to sing a song, you've got to have a pitch. Believe you me, you ought to hear sometimes when we don't get it right. God must have a sense of humor, because he made parrots and monkeys and people, didn't he? But you see, the songbook is authorized in the command to sing. The pitch pipe is authorized in the command to sing. You say, "Where in the New Testament is there a song leader?" I never read of one. Well, then why do we use one? It's in the command to sing. If everybody's going to sing together and at the same time, and that's what we're supposed to do, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, then we've got to have someone to lead us. Don't we? Where's the prayer leader in the New Testament? Never read of one, do we? But we read of brethren praying, don't we? So the command to pray, or the example to pray, authorizes someone leading it. I don't find that difficult to understand. What is a songbook? It's an expedient. Why isn't it expedient? Because there's a command. What's a pitch pipe? It's an expedient. Why is it an expedient? Because there's a command. But if I belabor that point too much longer, I'll be cutting way into Howard's time. Walking by faith is accepting and doing what God tells us we are to do. And there's no middle ground. Either do what God says or you don't do what God says. God hasn't left us any other space. Now let's look at some examples of those who walked by faith. Noah, in building the ark, is an example. In Hebrews, I know that because the Bible says so. In Hebrews 11:7, we read, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen," there's God speaking, "moved with godly fear," there's Noah's believing, "built or prepared an ark," there's Noah's acting, That's faith for the saving of his house, by which also he condemned the world, etc. God spoke, Noah believed, accepted, and prepared. Thus he was saved. Joshua, in the overthrow of Jericho. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we read, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. God spoke to Joshua saying, you remember in Joshua 6, 1 through 5, march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, he said, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the ram's horns. And when you finish the seventh round, there is to be a long blast on the ram's horns, and all of the people are to shout, give a great shout. And when they do that, God said, the walls will fall down. Once a day for 6 days they went around. On the seventh day they went around 7 times. That's 13 times in all. When they went around the seventh time, they blew the ram's horns and the people gave a great shout, which must have been, look out, here come the walls. Because the walls fell down. Jericho was defeated by faith. The Bible says they fell down flat. They did what God said. They acted by faith. And Jericho fell. For one New Testament application, let's turn to the matter of baptism. The Bible says it's a going down into the water, doesn't it? From Acts 8, 38 and 9 we read, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, he being the eunuch. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he, Philip, baptized him, the eunuch. Now when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch obeyed the voice of an inspired preacher. Therefore, he acted by faith. Previous to this, the eunuch had said, here's water, what keeps me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot, went down into the water, and he was baptized. He acted on the instructions of an inspired preacher. Thus, he acted on the instructions of God. For a second New Testament application, let's turn to singing and worship. The use of instruments is never mentioned in the New Testament. I've already belabored this point. From Colossians 3:16, and I've chosen only one passage because it's never mentioned in the New Testament, we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do what with grace in your hearts to the Lord? Singing. Singing only is walking by faith. Singing and playing is walking by opinion. Why? Because there's nothing said about playing. Why? The Bible is as silent on singing and playing as the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible, dearly beloved, is our all-sufficient guide in all matters religious. No exceptions to that rule. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, or equipped for every good work. If we walk by faith, we will accept and do what is taught in Holy Scripture. Transgressing or going beyond the teachings of Christ severs us from God. I know that by faith. 2 John 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Well, suppose I want to put strawberry ice cream and hamburgers on the Lord's table. Is that going beyond the doctrine of Christ? Indeed it is. Do I have God when I do that? Indeed I don't. If anyone comes to you, John continued, and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Let's walk by faith. Let's do what God said and be pleasing to him. If one wishes to walk by faith in order to be saved from all of his sins, he must, after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed, believe with all of his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:36. He must repent of all sin against God. Acts 2:38. He must confess his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10:10. He must be baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Acts 2:38. If one has failed to live the Christian life and wants to walk by faith in returning to Jesus Christ, he must, after experiencing godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10, repent of all sin standing between him and God, Acts 8:22. Confess all public sin against God and his church, James 5:16. And pray with loving brethren and sisters for forgiveness of all sin. If you're here today and you want to become God's child, God's way, then come by faith to do his will. If you have, but have strayed, and you want to return, come today to do his will in his way while we stand together and while we sing.